This morning, I am both excited and privileged to be able to introduce to you my friend. It's hard to believe we met quite a few years ago, maybe 16, 17 years ago. I know Lori and I were very early married on, way back when we first met, but there are a few things I learned early on. Well, you can tell we share a taste in clothes. We have very similar shirts this morning. We share that in common. We share a birthday in common. There's lots of birthdays over the years. The first, by the way, we have two or three people I share a birthday with, and he is one of them. I like to send him a happy birthday message from time to time. After we initially met, not too long, we started meeting together just one-on-one for different things, just to be able to have somebody to talk to about different things. And in particular, one of the things that came up in the conversations was ministry. After spending just a little bit of time, you find out he has the heart of a pastor. He has a heart for ministry, a heart for what God wants to do with his life. And at the point when we were getting together, we're like, what does that even look like for us? What does, both of us have these winding roads that kind of go all over the place. Like, what can God do with this? What does this look like? And so that is one of the reasons why it's a privilege to be able to, as somebody who's been pastoring now for a few years, to have him come and share with us this morning. There's lots to that. And so, make sure I don't forget anything else I was going to say. We met, like I said, a long time ago with the Sunday school stuff, and we were getting together and talking about ministry stuff. And it's been amazing for me to see what God can and does do when we surrender ourselves to what his call is on our lives. Because God has a call on each and every one of our lives, and our duty is to respond faithfully to it. And so thank you, Hector, for coming this morning. Come and share with us.
Thank you. Let me turn this on real quick. It's on. There we go. So yeah, like Pastor Ryan said, we met probably, 16, 17 years ago. And it's been pretty interesting to see what God can do with somebody, like you said, when they just surrender their lives. And it's interesting because we both have a story. Just like you have a story. We all have a story. And sometimes our stories don't go the way we think they should go. And we're a prime example of that. We have a very interesting story. And for Pastor Ryan, it took him years to get to where he's at today. For me, same thing. I received my call to ministry when I was 14 years old. I will be 50 in December. And I am now in school. I work full-time, and I'm in school and studying to be a pastor. And it's interesting that it's taken so long to get us there. But again, God knows what he's doing. Let's pray real quick. Father, we thank you so much for your love. Father, we thank you for the way you love us and the way you care for us. I pray, Lord, right now that you would just meet with us today, Lord. I pray that this message would be a message that would be an encouragement, that it would be a message that we would take to heart, Lord, because it's a message that this world desperately, desperately needs. So, Lord, I pray that as you, as I bring this message, Lord, I pray that you just, that your spirit would just speak through me and that it would impact those hearing it in a special way. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. Like Pastor Ryan said, my name is Hector. I work full-time for the Cook County Sheriff's Department. I have been working for the Cook County Sheriff's Department. Last Sunday, I started my 28th year. So I have 3 years left. I'll be retiring, and Lord willing, I'll move right into ministry. So that's what my background is. So, and what's interesting, I grew up not too far from here. I grew up in Blue Island. But, you know, as I was writing this message, I couldn't help but think about what I do for a living. I work at the Markham Courthouse, and I've been there for 24 years. But I work with people that society would consider probably the worst of the worst. And I'm not talking about my coworkers. I'm talking about the prisoners that I deal with. So I work for the last 10 years, I've been working in the lockup area. So we do intake of prisoners. We bring them in. They bring them in from all around the different suburbs. They bring them to Markham to go to court for bond hearings. Prior to COVID, we had prisoners being brought over from 26 in California from the jail over to the courthouse to go to court. But, you know, when I started this job 28 years ago, there were two types of people that trained me. The first kind was the deputy, the trainer that told me, the people you deal with, they're here for different crimes, but they're people. They're human beings. The second person was the one that told me, the people that you deal with are no good. They're scum. They don't deserve any type of respect, any type of anything good happening to them. And so as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, I had a choice to make. How do I treat the people that come into this lockup? The people that come that I am responsible for taking to court to bring them before a judge. How do I treat them? Do I treat them with utter disregard, with disdain, with lack of respect, or do I love them and have compassion and show compassion for them? Now, let me just say, murderers, rapists, thieves, those that are there for drug crimes, those are the type of individuals that I deal with. And I'm not standing here and telling you that a person that commits those crimes, that we ought to excuse the crime. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that every person that we come in contact deserves to be respected, deserves to have compassion, deserves to have love. As a follower of Christ, we are commanded to love and show compassion. There are people that will come into our lives that we just don't like. We just don't like them. Maybe their appearance is different. The clothing that they wear. Now, it's easy to love and have compassion for myself and for Pastor Ryan, we wear the same clothes. I mean, we dress alike. We have the same birthday, you know. But what about people of different color? Okay. What about their economic status? They make more money. They make less money. What about their political affiliation? He's a Democrat. He's a Republican. How about, this is a big one in today's society, how about their sexual orientation or their sexual identity? I'm not saying, like I said, I don't say that we have to agree. I'm saying that as Christians, as followers of Christ, we have a choice to make. And we are commanded in Scripture to love and show compassion. You know, we may feel this way, and sometimes we can justify our attitudes towards other people. But what does Jesus have to say to us in Scripture? If you have your Bible or if you have your cell phone, turn to Luke chapter 10, and I'm going to start reading in verse 25. We're going to go down through verse 37. Verse 25 says, on one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit an eternal life? So this is a lawyer a scripture, a teacher of the law, a lawyer. He knows the Old Testament law, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. He knows it like the back of his hand. So Jesus says, "What is written in the law?" He replied, "How do you read it?" So Jesus turns the question on to the lawyer. And he answered, the lawyer, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Lawyer gives the right answer. He knows the scripture. He knows what the Bible says. Jesus says, "You have answered correctly." And Jesus replied, "Do this and you will live." But he, the lawyer, wanting to justify himself, he wanted to make himself look better than he was. So he says, "And who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" The lawyer, in an arrogant, you can almost feel the arrogance in his tone when he asks, "Who is my neighbor?" He's a lawyer. He knows the scriptures. He follows the scriptures. He knows what to do. And you know what? To a Jewish person, he probably is a good neighbor. He probably does love them. He probably does show compassion. But Jesus, wanting to teach him, tells him a story. And here we go into verse 30. He says, "In reply, Jesus said, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happens to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, the priest walked on the other side of the road." So too, a Levite, when he came to the place where and saw him, passed by on the other side. So here we have two men. Two religious men, men that are charged with working in the temple, men that are so-called religious leaders in their community, and they see someone who has been beaten and left half dead, and they walk on the other side. They walk away from him. Now, perhaps, you know, it could be possibly that they were on their way to the temple and they can't defile themselves. There's rituals that they have to follow. But they saw a person in need and they walked on the other side. They do nothing. How many of us in the church, and when I say church, I don't necessarily mean just this church, I mean the church universal. How many of us in the church are like the priest and Levite? We call ourselves Christian and think. We might not say it out loud, but we think, "I'm so much better than that person." Romans 12:3. And if anybody knows me, I love Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, the whole entire chapter, to me, speaks volumes. I tried my best every day to live by Romans chapter 12. But Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, "For by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." Now Jesus introduces a third person. Verse 33, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Other versions will say compassion. Took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for the extra expense you may have. So why is this interesting? Why is this so interesting? A Samaritan to the Jewish people, a Samaritan was less than a second-class citizen. Bible speaks that people would go out of their way. They would travel miles out of their way not to go through Samaria. Samaritans were despised by the Jewish people. Samaritans were spat on. If a Samaritan came by a Jewish person, they would spit on him. The Samaritan, this man is despised and detested by Jews. But as he was walking, he sees the man, he has compassion for the man. And what is compassion? Compassion literally means to suffer together. To suffer together. This is when we are confronted with another's suffering and feel motivated to relieve that suffering. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us with all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Not only does the Samaritan show compassion, but he gives willingly. He sacrifices of his belongings, of what he has. He gives willingly of his wine, his oil. And when he has to leave and he takes the man on his donkey to the inn, and when he has to leave, he tells the innkeeper, he gives the innkeeper some money. And he tells him, hey, you take care of him. When I come back, if there's anything else that needs to be paid, I'll pay it. He sacrifices. The Samaritan goes beyond what is required. He truly shows his love and compassion. You know, and this isn't in my notes, but after I wrote this, I started thinking, you know, there's a passage in Scripture that talks about Jesus having to go through Samaria. And he has an encounter with a woman at the well. And we all know the story. We know the story of the woman at the well. But, you know, I got to thinking, I wonder if the compassion that Jesus showed that woman at the well, when she left there, did she go and tell everybody in her city about this man, Jesus, and the love and compassion that he showed for them? Maybe this Good Samaritan heard that story. Maybe this Good Samaritan was influenced by the love and compassion that Jesus had for the woman and the woman had for the rest of the people in that town. And so now this man, the Samaritan, is walking down this road and sees this man, probably a Jewish man that was robbed and beaten, left for dead. And if it was the other way around, this Jewish man would have spat on him. But no, this Samaritan goes out of his way and he goes to this man and shows love and compassion for a man that would despise and spit on him. Verse 36 says, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell at the hands of the robber? And the expert, the lawyer, replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Again, Jesus turns the question onto the lawyer. Which of these was a neighbor to the man that was left for dead? And when the lawyer responds, do you realize he can't even come to say the Samaritan? He doesn't even call him by what he is, a Samaritan. But Jesus tells him, go and do the same. So what? So why does Jesus tell this story? Why does Jesus tell this story? One, he wants the lawyer to understand who his neighbor is. Two, he, the lawyer, can't pick. He can't pick who his neighbors are. You know, Jesus showed in this story that authentic love must transcend all human boundaries. It must transcend race. It must transcend religion. It must transcend nationality, economic class, educational status. I am a follower of Christ. And because I am a follower of Christ, it dictates and it tells me how I am to live. How I am to live, how I am to treat everyone I come in contact with. Not just the people that I like, not just the people that look like me, not just the people that have the same economic status, not the person that maybe is the same political affiliation as I am, but everyone. Jesus tells the lawyer, go and do the same. Why is that important? Why is it important that we, as believers, know this truth, know this story, apply this story? How we treat others, the love and compassion we show is an indication of our love for God. In our text, we read, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. The two greatest commandments, love God with all that's within us, and love your neighbor. I can't, we can't say that we love God if we do not show love and compassion for those around us. 1 John 4:19 through 21 says, we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims, now listen to this, this is Jesus speaking. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whosoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must love their brother and sister. Jesus is our example of love and compassion. Matthew 11:28, Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Matthew 15:32, Jesus shows compassion to the crowd. Luke 8:40-41, Jesus raises a dead girl and heals a woman with an issue of blood. Luke 19:41-42, Jesus has compassion and weeps over Jerusalem. John 11:34, Jesus weeps over Lazarus. What about John 3:16? God, through his Son, Jesus, shows compassion for the world. He doesn't spare his own Son, yet gives his Son to save the world. And the stories of Jesus' love and compassion, they go on and on and on throughout Scripture. Our political, social, economic, or ethnicity should never come before our call to be Christ followers. All those things need to go by the wayside. There's no place. If we call ourselves believers, if we are followers of Christ, we have a responsibility to live as Christ followers. I don't know if you know who Jim Cimbala is. Jim Cimbala is the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York. Jim Cimbala, in his book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, tells a story, and you can also find it on YouTube. It's called the Easter story. He tells the story of an Easter Sunday where, if you know the Brooklyn Tabernacle is massive. It's humongous. They have three or four services every Sunday. So he tells this story, and he says it was the last sermon of the day, and he said, I was tired. I was so tired. And I came down to the platform, and I just sat on the platform, and I just said, and started talking to the people. And all of a sudden, about three or four pews down, he sees a man. And all of a sudden, their eyes meet. And he knew this man was just disheveled. He sees the man stand up and start walking towards him. And he's tired, and he, long day. So he starts to reach back, knowing that he's going to have to pull out his wallet and give this man some money. The man walks up, starts walking up, and he says he got about 4 feet, 5 feet away from him, and the stench was unbearable. Feces, urine, drugs, alcohol. Hadn't taken a shower in probably weeks. The stench was unbearable. He said as he walked closer, I would have to turn my head like this, take a breath, so that I could turn around and talk to him again. His name is David. So David comes up, and Pastor Cimbala reaches into his back pocket, pulls out his wallet, and starts taking out a $5 bill. And he goes to hand it to the man, and the man just puts his hand out and says, I don't want your money. I don't want your money. Well, what do you want? I want this Jesus you're talking about. I want this Jesus you've been talking about. And I'm going to quote Pastor Cimbala. At that moment, I became so convicted of my lack of love and the lack of compassion. At that moment, I forgot about David and said, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Pastor Cimbala, as he's standing there, a pastor, God, forgive me. He realized that that love and compassion that he's supposed to have for others, he didn't have it. He's weeping and crying, and he's raising his hands and he's crying, God, forgive me. He's crying it out loud. And he looks at David, and David sees that Pastor Cymbal is brokenhearted over what he just did and what he just said. That Pastor Cymbal, they both embrace. And Pastor Cymbal says, that stench that I could not bear a minute ago became like a sweet aroma in my nostrils. Why is that? Why is that? I'm not telling you this because we're the only ones that need this. A pastor of a large church, a pastor whose ministry has been about helping the homeless. His whole ministry has been about helping the homeless. Lost sight of the fact that as believers, as a follower of Christ, we must show love and compassion. Heartbroken, crying. And the story of Pastor Cymbal and David goes on. Story goes that David starts attending church. They got him into a rehab center. He got clean. They became very close friends, to the point where he even went to Christmas at Pastor Cymbal's house. And he remembers, she shared this story, and I thought it's amazing. He said, for Christmas, he showed up, and his Christmas present to me was a white handkerchief. And he said, I love that present. That gift to me is more important than if somebody showed up at my doorstep and gave me a brand new car as a gift. That white handkerchief that he used for years on after that was more important to him than anything else because of the connection that him and David had, because of the lesson that God taught him that day. You know, we might never come across someone who was robbed and left for dead. But what about that person that you disagree with? What about that person that doesn't look like you in color or appearance, who is a different political party? What about that waiter or waitress that got your order wrong? You may never work a job where you deal with murderers, rapists, but what about those that cross your path who are the marginalized of our society? Jesus, throughout his life and ministry, modeled for us true love and compassion. If we call ourselves Christians, we are to imitate the love and compassion of our Savior. Now what? Our world is in desperate need for people who call themselves Christians to not only show but also live out God's love and compassion. We can't pick and choose. We can't pick and choose who we love, who our neighbor is. My heart's desire, more than anything, is to be known for the love and compassion that I show. I'm going to ask you this. Are you willing to leave here this morning and be the Christian that God has called you to be? Are you willing to make love and compassion a priority in your walk, in your Christian walk? I'm going to ask everyone to please stand. I want to invite you right where you're at. right where you're at to pray. Ask God to help you have the same love and compassion that Jesus had. Do you love your neighbor the way Jesus loved? Are you showing compassion the way Jesus did? Jesus loved and had compassion for the poor, for the sick, for the sinner, for the hungry. How can we, who call ourselves Christians, do anything less? Father, I thank you for the love and compassion that you have shown us. Father, many of us were unworthy, but you loved us anyways, Lord. You loved us enough to send your son Jesus to die on the cross for us. Father, you loved the world enough, and that's everybody. Those that were born, those that are born right now, those that are living right now, those that will be born. Father, you loved them enough to send your son, to sacrifice your own son, to redeem a people that have turned their back on you. Father, help us to have love and compassion for everyone we meet, everyone we come across. Father, it doesn't matter the color of their skin. It doesn't matter their economic status. It doesn't matter what political party they affiliate with. Father, help us to love the way you loved. Help us to show compassion the way you showed compassion. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Just think what could happen in our communities and in our world if we, the church, showed love and compassion as Jesus did. Just imagine what would happen. If we put aside our political affiliation and love people for who they are. If we put aside the fact that somebody doesn't look like us, what could happen? Jesus came to save the lost of this world. He showed love and compassion, and we must do the same.